The Fan on Demand.
It's time for the Dean of College Sports. It's Sunday morning with David Grossman. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And a very good morning to you as well. Welcome to our Sunday morning news magazine show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. David Grossman's my name. 3 minutes after 8 o'clock, it's going to be a beautiful day today, hot and humid. And the Olympics, of course, have started, and Canada's still looking for its first medal. But we got 2 weeks, so don't worry about it. We're going to start things off with a young man who will wear the colors of this country at another international championship taking place, a world championship, and that's in a few weeks in Baku, Azerbaijan. Oren Firminov was chosen athlete of the year at his high school, Humberview, in Bolton, just northwest of Toronto. And I'm not sure if he received a plaque or a trophy. I'm sure there was some applause somewhere down the line. No financial award, but he is getting a European somewhat vacation, if you want to look at it that way. Making a trip to, well, across the planet, because I really don't know where Azerbaijan is, and I should have checked that up. He's going to compete in this world championship, cadet wrestling, and we have him on the phone right now to talk about it. Good morning, Oren. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Where is Azerbaijan?
Azerbaijan is it's on the Caspian Sea in between Europe and Asia.
Good. You passed geography. I didn't. How did you get picked?
Well, there was a Canadian National Championship for cadets and juveniles April 12th to 15th. And there was a series of tournaments. The first tournament was the National Championships, and then the top wrestlers from the cadet and juvenile division had a second tournament the next day.
So here you are, you're this young Canadian kid, teenager. What have the coaches told you about what you might expect going up against some wrestlers from other countries that you'll be facing in this competition next month?
Well, you know, I look at a lot of international competition on YouTube and stuff. So, and as well, I hear from my coaches, they have a lot more experience generally. They start from an earlier age. See, I started in grade 9, so I've only really been wrestling for 2-3 years.
But here you are undefeated in high school. That's a lot different from amateur wrestling in general. You won a gold medal at the provincial tournament, and again at the national level in the 46 kilos.
Yeah.
How far does a guy like you consider taking wrestling? Is it like something you're going to do when you continue your studies in college or university, or you want to take this even further?
Well, I plan on continuing it in university, but the ultimate goal is obviously one day, hopefully, I can get to the Olympics.
Well, that'd be good. Why not?
Yeah.
Describe to us, we're watching Oren Firminov wrestle. What's your tactic? Do you go for the legs? Is there a certain move? Is it the right move that you have to make at a certain time?
Well, usually I wrestle pretty calm. Sometimes I let them, I like to feel it out a little, see how the other person's wrestling. And then when I see my opening, when I set up my shots and I see the legs, I usually take a shot for the legs, something like that.
You're about 100 pounds.
That's the weight that I'm wrestling, yeah.
Rough idea.
101 pounds, yeah.
About 100 pounds. Do you have a steady diet or something that keeps you within the weight frame that you have to be in? I'm sure people would benefit from how you avoid all the junk foods. It's easily available, I would imagine, to kids your age.
Yeah, there is a diet that I follow, and right now I'm dieting since I'm coming close to the competition and the weigh-ins.
Maybe I should be focusing on wrestling as well. One more question, I'm going to let you go. Outside of wins and losses, is there something that you've learned or benefited from in the sport of wrestling?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's a lot of discipline. There's a lot of it's a lot mentally. I'd say it's 90% mental wrestling and 10% physical. You got to learn to keep yourself under control, because a lot of the times a really strong wrestler can lose to a weak wrestler because of their mental, and it really teaches you a lot about yourself outside of wrestling.
Well, good luck to you, Oren. I appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. Gold medal, go for it. Unbeaten this year in wrestling, and now off to the World Cadet Wrestling Championships in Azerbaijan. Oren Firminov, thanks for being with us. I know it's summer, and there are some who just can't wait for the hockey season to start up. So we thought about sharing an interesting story involving our next guest. Hockey is her sport. She's from Kitchener. She's been in the United States the past few years on a scholarship at Ohio State University. And well, she wants to play hockey, but she can't. And we're going to find out why, because Laura McIntosh is joining us now from Columbus, Ohio, the home city of the Ohio State Buckeyes. And we'll get right into the issue. Good morning, Laura. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very good. I you sound like things are okay, but let's first ask you, what's the hockey experience been like the past couple of years playing for the Buckeyes, other than being Ohio State's career points leader? What's it been like?
It's been awesome. It's been a great 4 years, and I have no regrets coming here in that. And I've had a great group of girls on the team, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm almost a little bit sad to have to leave. So it's been a fun time.
Well, you know, some of us had to stay in university for a long time. In your case, you were able to go in, get your job done, get the degree, and move on to other things. But the problem I'm having difficulty with, and I've never seen you play, but I've been told that you're very good at hockey. You played for Canada's under 18 and under 22 hockey teams. But apparently you've exhausted your university eligibility, not just in the United States, but right here in Canada. Were you aware of this?
A little bit, more so now than I have been before. But, yeah, I actually looked into coming back home and maybe playing for Laurier or Waterloo or something in my hometown. But, no, I heard that my eligibility is gone, so I can't do that.
I don't understand again. How does it work? You played 4 years of university hockey in the United States. Now you're coming back and you want to play another year of hockey here in Canada. And for some reason, albeit Canadian students are allowed 5 years of eligibility, four does not equal five here, if you know what I mean. They're saying, that's it, you've exhausted your eligibility. Is it because you're graduating, or has anybody been able to explain it to you?
No, not really. It'd be nice, definitely, to come back and play for a university in Canada, but it's luckily I have the CWHL, and that's supposed to be a great league coming up here, and I was just drafted last week, so I'm excited for that, and it's too bad that I can't play at a university, but no one's really explained to me why or anything like that, but yeah, it's definitely too bad.
We're going to get into the CWHL in just a minute, but okay. Is there a process for appealing? Is there a way of asking for help? I mean, what's the next move for Laura McIntosh, or do you just basically say, that's it, I've lost, time to move on with my life?
Pretty much I've said, yeah, that's it. I've kind of moved on from that and tried not thinking about that and getting hung up on it. Eventually, like, maybe if I want to go in a year or two, I might try and appeal that, but for right now, I'm just going to focus on, you know, other things and the CWHL and hopefully sometime making the national team.
You seem pretty well content with the decision that's been made.
Yeah, I am right now, and I've kind of looked past it, and I'm okay with it. So, yeah, CWHL is coming next year, so I'm excited for that.
Was the opportunity there, or were you looking at this as an experience that you could play with an elite program as a means of showcasing yourself in front of those who make the decisions about who's going to play for Canada in the years to come internationally?
Definitely, you know, I think a lot of, you know, Canadian universities are great in that, and it'd definitely be a way to showcase myself. But since I can't do that, I got to find somewhere else to play, and that's going to be the CWHL.
Laura McIntosh is joining us. She's from Waterloo, attended Ohio State University to play hockey the past couple of years. She's won her share of medals. She's played for Canada's under-18 team that won a silver at the inaugural IIHF Women's Hockey Finals. But now she wants to play hockey at Laurier and has found out that her 4 years of eligibility in the U.S. translates to five here in Canada, and the door shut, can't play anymore. You were chosen, as you mentioned, in the CWHL, the third round, by the Brampton Thunder. And that league is home to a number of national team players. But I understand that the CWHL's game and their training schedules are not nearly as intense as you would find, say, at Ohio State or even at Laurier. Is that a fair assumption?
I think the fair assumption. Just, you know, in every day, you know, you got jobs to work and that. But I think it's going to be pretty intense with the Brampton. I think they have a great program, and I'm looking forward to playing for them and seeing, you know, how the season goes. I'm hoping that it's intense, and I think the level of hockey is great just because there are so many national team players from all over the world. And I'm excited for that, and hopefully it will be, you know, a step up from college hockey, and I'm hoping to do well in that league.
Laura, if we go to the rink, someone tells us Laura McIntosh is on the ice. What do we look for when we see you playing? Are you the rugged player? Are you, like, did you go into the corners? Are you the goal scorer, the one that puts up a lot of points? Describe to us a little bit about the way you play the game.
The way I play the game, that's a tough one for me to answer. I guess if someone were to talk about me, I'm not really a go-in-the-corner girl. I kind of try to make things happen on the ice. I haven't scored a lot of goals, but I've scored some, but more so I'm more of a playmaker out there. And I think, like, my assists outnumber my goals by a lot. So, yeah, probably a playmaker.
Take hockey away from you. What are your career plans?
To tell you the truth, I want to stay in the game. I'm actually doing an internship with my coaches at Ohio State right now. So I'm hoping to get into the coaching career and maybe focus on golf a little bit too in the summers because I love that. But, yeah, I'm hoping to stay in hockey, either coaching or maybe even education when I get older. So.
Putting up a couple of miles on the car, eh, to go back and forth between Columbus and Kitchener.
Yeah, exactly. I've been going back and forth all summer and just doing that internship and trying to get home a lot as well. And, you know, I have a lot to pack up here in Columbus, so making a few trips home is a good thing.
Got one more question, and then we'll let you go. When we look back at the wealth of hockey experience, the greatest thrills in sports for you, there was winning the gold medal at the Canadian Under-18 National Championship Tournament in, I think it was 2007, in front of your friends and your family, and it was in your hometown. But then there was also playing third base for the Ontario softball team that won a silver medal at the Canada Games. Is hockey still number one for you?
Hockey is definitely number one. It's always been number one. I've always played a lot of sports, but hockey is definitely one of my main goals, and I want to reach as high of a level that I can. But yeah, definitely hockey's up there. I also love softball and golf, but hockey is definitely in the front seat there.
Laura McIntosh, I hope things work out for you, and I hope we see you in a uniform that is red and white for Canada someday playing at the World Championship. You're a heck of an athlete, from what I'm told, and hockey indeed is your sport. We thank you very much for joining us.
Awesome, thank you.
And while we're mentioning Laurier and women's hockey, one of the best in Canada, the university lost a compassionate appeal to have Stratford's Megan Howe join them for this coming season. She used to be at New York's Oswego State, but that university canceled funding for international students, meaning Howe lost her athletic scholarship. So what did she do? But she transferred to Laurier. But the Canadian University sports system ruled her ineligible for 1 year because of the switch in schools. So there you go. Politics in amateur sport. Coming up next, an icon in the tennis world. We'll tell you all about him. It's Sunday morning with David Grossman on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Sunday morning on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the official station of the London Summer Olympics. Coming up in a matter of days, the Rogers Cup right here in Toronto. Tennis at its finest, and there's going to be a special presentation in which Lauren Mayne will be inducted in the Rogers Cup Hall of Fame. And we're not waiting because we have Lauren joining us right now and all the way from the West Coast. Lauren, glad to have you with us, and thanks very much for making time available.
Well, it's wonderful to be here, David.
So you're being inducted to the Rogers Cup Hall of Fame. What I want to know is, did you know about this or have I let the secret out?
I did know about it, but it's quite an honor to have for a Canadian. You know, we're come a long ways lately in tennis, and it's great that they honor a Canadian. And you know, we Canadians around the world in tennis, and I've done a little bit in senior tennis, but you know, we have our Daniel Nestor, who's done so much in doubles and mostly in doubles, and now Milos Raonic. Hey, Canada's on the board now in tennis.
Well, you have won something like, and this is an amazing statistic, 39 or so world championships in various categories. You held the number one position in every one of them from over 55 to ages, well, 55 to 80, and you've been the most successful senior player in ITF history. How have you been able to accomplish such a massive display of tennis?
With a little luck, David, with a little luck, too. I'm 82 now, but, I mean,
God my bless health you.
Thank you. My health has been good, and it's just one of those, well, I guess I have to put it down to my parents and everything else, but I've had my bones have been okay to play this game, this wonderful game, and here is a game that you can play at the top level for, you know, here I am at 82, and I've been playing right from Davis Cup, right from junior days, and right through now to the age I am now. So it's a wonderful sport that you can play all your life. I think I'm proof of that.
I've been looking back at the history of you and tennis, and I noticed that in Paris during the French Open at the ITF World Championship dinner, you were presented with an award for outstanding achievement in seniors tennis. And you were standing there along with other award winners, a guy by the name of Djokovic, I guess you know him, and there was Arantxa Sánchez Vicario as well, and a lot of others. How big was this event for you in your life?
Well, it was great to meet these world champions, you know. When we when I played most of my Davis Cup tennis in the 1950s, we didn't have the money that they make now and all that. We were all amateurs at that time, but to be able to be on stage with some of these top players of the world now, it's fantastic.
My good friend Erwin Tobias at Tennis Canada tells me that you might still have, what he calls a unique style, the first international class player to play the game of tennis two-handed on both sides. Is that an accurate explanation?
Well, it is. I started tennis as a 9-year-old in Vancouver here, and they've named some courts after me down where I played at Oak Park and in Vancouver, and I was too small for one hand, so I played two hands on both sides, and I kept it up through my junior days, and I had won the U.S. National Junior Championship in San Francisco, and a guy named Jack Kramer, who was my idol, he looked at me down there and said, you know, whatever you're doing well to do this. Keep it going. So I played right through my Davis Cup career and my international tournaments. One was Monte Carlo in 1954. That was my biggest singles win of my life. And, you know, it's just one of those things. And now I'm a senior. I reverted to two hands or one hand because I kind of lost my timing. And I've done pretty well in the senior events now.
Lauren Main is joining us on Sunday morning on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And who is Lauren Main? Well, he's a legend. Recently won an Outstanding Achievement Award in seniors tennis and is going to be inducted into the Rogers Cup Hall of Fame at this year's tournament. You just mentioned before the ATP title that you won in Monte Carlo way back in 1954. But you also got to the third round of Wimbledon, and you were on the Canadian Davis Cup team. There are lots of victories, lots of highlights. Is there one that really stands out for you in your discussions?
Well, Monte Carlo has to be the one for sure. That I was unseeded at the time, and it's one of those tournaments where you just get lucky. Just everything comes together. You're in a zone, as we call it in tennis, and I was in that zone for 7 matches in a row. We had to play at 7, and we always played 3 out of 5 in those amateur days. And so it came together that time. But I don't know, my Davis Cup career, I love playing for Canada, and this is what senior tennis does. We have 10 cups in all age groups from 35 every 5 years up to 80. And right now I'm in my last cup matches, although there is one for 85 to 90. So I think by the time I get there, maybe we'll be able to play for that cup also for Canada.
What do you think about today's tennis player? I mean, the game is a lot faster, the power, the talent, et cetera. Is it great, or do these tennis players still have lots to learn in your eyes?
No, sir. I think it's great. We're very lucky at this time. And the Rogers Cup is going to be to have the four wonderful players of Federer and Djokovic and Nadal and Murray to watch. You know, right now we're very fortunate as tennis fans to, there's the fan for you, they're very lucky to have these four players all playing, and they'll be at the Rogers Cup. And just, you know, it's the best tennis. When I watched in Australia this year, that the four matches from the semifinals on were just unbelievable tennis.
Are you prepared when they come up to you and ask for your autograph?
I think I'll give it to Roger. Roger's kind of my idol now, too. And what a win at Wimbledon. He was fantastic, too.
Here's something I didn't know about you, Lauren. You were the recipient of some kind of an award with tennis associated to it to the University of California at Berkeley. And this goes back, shall I say, to the time before I was born, in the early 50s.
I was even the late 40s.
I'm
82 now. I graduated from McGee High School here in Vancouver, and I got one of the, I think it's the first tennis scholarship to the U.S., and that was the University of California at Berkeley. So it, I learned a lot of tennis down there also, and then made Davis Cup when I was 19 years old. So I didn't quite finish the university, but I had a great time there. And then the Davis Cup career of well, roughly 7 years playing and 5 years captain. So I did my duty for Canada back then. And then I just love playing for Canada now in senior tennis. I've done it for 26 straight years in the World Senior Championships.
Well, from all of us at Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Lauren, congratulations on your success in tennis and the induction to the Rogers Cup Hall of Fame. And thanks very much for your time this morning.
David, I thank you very much.
Lauren Main, what a great tennis athlete and a representative of that sport. Well, here's a great story. And it's about an athlete who excels in judo. He's from the Kitchener-Waterloo area, 31 years old, legally blind, and he's going to compete at the London Paralympic Games next month. I'm talking about Justin Karn, and he's joining us right now. Justin, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I'm reading about you, and it says that you were born with aniridia, which is an eye condition. And I know you have some other issues with your eyes, none of which can be fixed through surgery or, I guess, corrective lenses. I mean, how do you find a weakness when you compete in the sport of judo? And I'm trying to imagine here with your eyesight limited.
Well, there's many different ways. Like, I have to find weaknesses based on the techniques that I do or the techniques my competitor does. You know, sometimes it could be I might be stronger, I might be faster, I might want to fight on the ground more. There's no real clear way except for just to go out and be the one who really wants it.
You were at the Canadian Judo Championship. You fought against an opponent who had his sight. Many people would look at that and they would say, hey, that's unfair. You decided you wanted to go for the best. What was the competition like?
The competition was pretty tough. It's always very tough at the Canadian Nationals. I've competed in the Canadian Nationals for several years now, and I'm just slowly trying to climb up the ranks in the able body as well as the Paralympic.
Justin Karn, I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. It was an amazing performance for you. You made it to the gold medal game. You lost, or the gold medal championship. You lost in the final. And I think the match was something like about, 4.5, 5 minutes, and you lost in the last 30 seconds. Tell us, what was the move that ended up you losing instead of winning?
Well, I ended up in the Masters division. I ended up in the gold medal match. I had won the first match and the last match, or the second match, I lost by decision. And the third match came down to a very, very questionable call in overtime. And unfortunately, the call just didn't go my way.
Justin Karn is joining us on Sportsnet 590 The Fan on Sunday morning. My name is David Grossman. And Justin, you grew up visually impaired. You discovered an interest in the sport of judo at the age of 13. And now here you are, 31 years old, competing in the London Paralympics, which is coming up. What do you know about the opponents that you're going to be facing and the likelihood of the chances of a medal? Are they fairly good in your standpoint?
Well, anybody can win the gold medal at the Paralympics. You know, they wouldn't be there if they didn't have the opportunity to win. All I can do is focus one match at a time and hope at the end of the day I'm on the top of the podium.
It's been is it fair to say a slow climb for you to get to where you are today? You look at the 2004 and 2008 games where you didn't qualify, but outstanding last year in Mexico at the 2011 Parapan American Games. You won a bronze medal. You're now 10th in your category in the world. What pushes you up to keep going at this pace and aiming for ultimately a gold medal?
Well, ultimately, it's been my success. I've been every year climbing the ranks just a little more and a little more. And finally now I'm in a position where I'm qualified and I have a chance at the big prize.
Well, good luck. Go for it. Gold medal all the way. We appreciate you sharing your story with us. And we thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Justin Karn. Wow. What a great story. Competing at the Paralympic Games. Next international challenge that's on his mind. Well, I'm going to mention the word guns. And now that I have your attention, we're going to talk about them and how they relate to sport. And that's coming up next with a former Olympic gold medalist. Sunday Morning with David Grossman continues. Stay right here. This is Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Sunday Morning, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, official station of the 2012 Olympic Games. And David Grossman is my name. Summer Olympics, yes, underway in London. And someone who knows the feeling of participating in these wonderful games. And in her case, winning and winning a gold medal is joining us right now, Linda Tom. She is in Canada's Sports Hall of Fame, won a gold medal in shooting at the 1984 Games in Los Angeles. And, well, we caught up with her in Ottawa. Good morning, Linda. How are you doing?
Good morning, David. I'm doing great. Thank you.
You hear the word Olympics, and I wonder what goes through your mind.
Oh, well, I start getting shivers. You know, the goosebumps starting rising, you know, and I just love it. I just think of the athletes immediately and how they're preparing and you know, the long grind that you go through, but on the other hand, you're happy to do that long grind, and you're really, really dedicated to it. And I admire them so, so much, and I especially admire the Paralympians because they go through so much just to get up in the morning and have something to eat. You know, never mind excelling at what they do.
Canada has had teams in the sport of shooting at the Olympics for many years.
Yes.
And I think it's pistol shooting or trap shooting or both. How does an individual get involved in a sport like shooting without public perception making you out to be someone other than an athlete?
Well, I guess that's harder to do nowadays than it was in my day because there were and there still are an awful lot of shooting clubs all up and down the country. And in fact, I'm happy to tell you that they're doing better than ever because we have had, besides myself, other Olympians who have really shown the way and demonstrated that it's a good and worthwhile sport. It's a social sport and it's a very safe sport.
Can you try ease some of our listeners, Linda? I mean, we mentioned shooting.
Yeah, I know.
Can you give us a little bit of an explanation about what sport shooting is all about?
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity. It's a real discipline. First of all, of course, if you're interested, you'd go down to a club. You would not try to go out and buy a firearm because clubs have their own firearms and they will guide you through the entire process. Each club has a whole safety process and protocol that they go through. It's worthwhile going down to a club just to see and just for self-education. you go through, you, there's all kinds of special equipment, and the further you go up the tree, of course, the more expensive and refined firearms are. There's special gear, for example, for rifle shooters to help them maintain a steady stance. For example, the rifle target is scored on a negative system. That is, you have to hit it absolutely dead center to get a 10. If you cut a line, it's a 9 or the lower value. Whereas it used to be, no, it was always a higher value, but in rifle shooting, it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You go through a lot of preparation. So I went through, because I'm shooting pistols, so upper body strengthening with small weights, 5-pound weights. Aerobic training, very important, so cycling, running, cross-country skiing, that sort of thing. Your body has to be fit, and your mind has to be fit, and your mind won't be fit unless your body's fit.
Goes together to make you out to be an interesting and a very talented athlete. Linda Tom is joining us. She was inducted to Canada's Sports Hall of Fame as a member of the Order of Canada. And of all things, you ran against Dalton McGuinty in the provincial election back in the 90s.
Yes, I did.
I got to ask you, the recent tragedies in Colorado and here in Toronto, the gun violence.
It's just horrible.
Yeah, and a few days ago, some actions were taken by a bureaucrat in the city to ban two teenage athletes, Chris Baldwin and Sabrina Sargent. And they banned them from participating in a special event to promote what's coming up in a matter of a few weeks, and that is the Ontario Summer Games, because they were associated with the sport that involved a gun. And of course, there was coast-to-coast outrage, and someone at Queen's Park decided to reinstate these two athletes to this special promotion. The premier was also involved, and he apologized. When you heard about all this mess that was going on, what went through your mind?
Well, what went through my mind is somebody is reacting emotionally and jumping to conclusions without having any idea what these athletes represent, what they go through, and in fact, they are the cream of our youth. All of these people who participate in the Ontario and the Canada Summer Games and so forth and Winter Games are just the type of people that you would want. You would want as your own family, your neighbors, people in your neighborhood. They go through so much, and they stand for so much, and they stand for excellence, and they're the absolute antithesis of the gun violence that unfortunately we see on the streets. And
you know,
it's very, very difficult to get hold of. I mean, it's not easy to, you don't just decide to shoot and go down and buy a gun. I mean, there's just an awful lot of hoops to jump through if you're a legitimate, honest, responsible shooter, whereas unfortunately the criminals can get their hands on guns illegally. The grand majority are smuggled in from the United States.
I got time for one more question. There's a story about you getting interested in sports shooting when your father, who is also a competitive shooter, responsibly taught you at the age of 8, I think,
yep,
it was 8, to use a BB gun. And I understand you practiced on matchboxes floating on pools of water, if in fact that's correct. What was it that perked your interest to take sports shooting to the level that eventually gave you a gold medal at the Olympic Games?
Oh, boy. Well, that's a long story, but briefly, it was encouragement from all kinds. My own interest, and inquiries. And then my dad helped me get it started, joined the club here at the RA Centre in Ottawa. And then from there, I got just tremendous encouragement from all of the members. Just a tremendous encouragement, both in rifle shooting and then when I tried pistol shooting as well and full-bore rifle shooting out at Connaught Ranges. Yeah, I just got nothing but encouragement. And also from pretty senior people on the Canadian team, Bill Hare, God rest his soul, who was the father actually of two Olympians who are over in London right now, one of whom is competing, Dorothy Ludwig, and her sister, Linda, who's coaching her and who has also represented us in shooting internationally. I just went from one to another. I just enjoyed shooting. I really, really enjoyed it as a recreation.
And that's all that counts. And there it is, a gold medal for you. And we thank you very much for joining us. Continued success. You did Canada proud. And thanks for your story.
Thanks very much, David.
Linda Tom, just an outstanding athlete in the sport of shooting and a gold medalist. Well, we're going to talk some football now. A little bit of deja vu. and that he was once a two-time winner of the Heck Crichton Trophy as the top Canadian university football player when he was at Queen's University in Kingston. And he tried to make it to the CFL, which doesn't seem to give Canadian quarterbacks a chance as far as I'm concerned. Then, now he's playing in the Northern Football Conference and shattering some records. I'm talking about Tommy Dennison, and he's joining us right now. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Hey, David. How are you doing this morning?
Very well, thank you. I remember watching this kid tear apart the Ontario University Football League, and that kid was you. And now I'm told, a few years later, you're doing the same, ripping defensive secondaries in another league, the Northern Football Conference, and piling up all kinds of records. I guess football goes with you in the same way that blood and skin happens.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I decided that I wanted to play a little bit more, and the Northern Football Conference offers that opportunity. There's some really good players on our team, certainly, to do the things that we've done this summer, and it's just been a great, great year, a great experience.
Why no pro football? That seems to be the question asked to a lot of Canadian quarterbacks.
Well, it's a difficult road to go down with the ratio the way it is right now. There's no reward for playing a quarterback who is Canadian. I mean, Brad Sinopoli right now is doing a tremendous job, but he was let go at the beginning of the year, and now he's back in Calgary, and it really is just a wait and see approach every single week. I went through that for a year in Calgary, bounced around with Toronto for a little bit of time as well as Winnipeg, but it's so difficult because where every other position has a ratio to benefit you, unfortunately, at quarterback, that doesn't exist.
A lot of people want to know Northern Football Conference. What kind of athlete plays in it?
You know what? There's a lot of former university players, some people who played a little bit of time in the CFL, and maybe got a little bit of an opportunity, but not enough to satisfy their appetite. But I'd say the majority of people have university experience.
Your last game, I was just noticing here, against Sault Ste. Marie, what you would call a nail-biter, 50-14 victory for the Toronto Titans, a team you play on, now 8-0 heading into the playoffs, which I think is next Saturday against Sudbury. You have close to 50 touchdown passes. That's 5-0 this season, including, I think it was 10 of them in one game.
Yeah, no, it's been a great year. Obviously those numbers speak to that. But, really we have some great receivers. Every single one of our receivers has played at the university level, and many of them excelled. Kevin Walsh, who played at York and St. Mary's, Vaughn Swart, who was an All-Canadian over and over at McMaster University. So certainly with some people who can carry the ball to the end zone.
Tom Dennison is the voice you hear on the other end. He's a former Heck Crichton winner, not once but twice, back-to-back years, as the top university football player in this country when he was with Queen's University, and now he's just shattering all kinds of records in the Northern Football Conference. I may be wrong, but the last homegrown pivot to start a CFL game, I think, was Larry Justanis. When he graduated from Acadia, and then he went with Hamilton. Is that fair? Is that right? Do you know?
Yeah, that's right. He's the last one who's started a game. The ratio was a little bit different then. Only two quarterbacks on a roster at that point in time. So him being local and having the opportunity to be out of Hamilton, I think a few injuries at Don McPherson at the time provided him an opportunity to play, and he certainly took advantage of it.
Your thoughts about the CFL making a rule to not only carry a Canadian quarterback, but actually play him? Do you think it's a good idea, and do you think it's going to happen?
I'm all in favor of anybody getting the opportunity to play as Canadian quarterback. I think the more simple opportunity would be just to include the Canadian quarterback in the ratio as they are at every other position. I mean, you see Canadians playing, 20 of them on the field at all times, and that's because there's a ratio that allows and ensures that there are Canadians in this league. Unfortunately, they've exempted the quarterback position. I think by including that position, immediately you'd see, at least half the teams probably adopt to having a Canadian on the roster, and certainly with time and experience, that opportunity to play would come. I'm not, just for putting somebody on the field immediately. You want them to have the success, and it may take a year or two, as it does with the American counterparts, to get up to speed in terms of how fast the game is.
Tom Dennison, your thoughts about kids wanting to pursue the sport of football after college, university. There's, of course, the Northern Football Conference, the Ontario Varsity Football League as well. Did you ever think about playing in Europe?
I did, actually. I was about to go play in Lazio, but the real world took over, and I took a full-time job at a university after I was done playing. I had a difficult decision to make, but I don't regret it. Certainly enjoyed what I've done since then. So,
not only are you playing, but I understand you're also coaching. Tell us about this the job you have now in Brampton.
Yeah, I just took over as the head coach of the Brampton Bears in the CJFL. Really excited. First game's on August 11th against London at Chincoussee Park. You know, we're doing a rebuild on the program, and certainly really excited. We got two really good young quarterbacks, Damian White and Isvar Nidic, out of Etobicoke and Pickering, respectively. And I think we're going to have a pretty good run at it. So excited to see how that all turns out.
One game you think about all the time, you talk to your buddies about as a quarterback, Tom Dennison. What was the best one for you?
Western in the playoffs, no two. Certainly in a snowstorm, and it was supposed to be a battle of two high-powered offense, and we won 55-20, and I was fortunate to break the OUA record for passing yards in that game. Never forget it.
Tom, I got to get out and see you play in the Northern Football Conference and see if you're just as good as you were when you're playing at Queen's University. We appreciate your time. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Tom Dennison, what a great quarterback in his university days. I'm sure he still is playing for the Toronto Titans in the Northern Football Conference. You hear the music. We're out of time. I want to thank our guests, Oren Firmanov, going to the World Cadet Wrestling Championships. Lauren McIntosh, Lauren Maid, tennis icon, getting a special induction. The Rogers Cup Hall of Fame, Justin Karn, going to the London Paralympics. Sports shooter and Olympian Linda Tom, and of course, Tom Dennison. You can follow us on Twitter at GrossmanFan590. You can drop us an email at SundayMorning@Fan590. Or you can check out my blog as well. Igor Enriquez is the producer of this show. Dan Riccio in charge of technical operations. Both of them doing a fine job. My name's David Grossman. Stay with us. You'll know everything about sport, the Olympics. Enjoy the rest of the day and stay cool. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
From some other beginnings and...